Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Recently, the New York Times published an article that said, ISIS enshrines a theology of rape. It's about the so-called ISIS or Islamic State, citing Islamic theology to justify brutal acts of rape and brutality against women. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, there are some sickening stories that are surfacing with regards to ISIS. I know at Liberty Relief International, one of our outreaches to persecuted Christians around the world, we recently reported on a story. It's very sickening where ISIS actually raped a four-year-old girl in front of the parents, then set the girl on fire while the parents watched. And this is being done to Christians, it's being done to Yazidis, it's being done to Sunni Muslims as well, but particularly to the Christian community, this is being inflicted upon them. And there's so much silence around the world. And having just returned from Israel, speaking to a Jewish lawyer there who is doing a documentary on persecuted Christians in the Middle East, she was wondering, where is the voice of the Christian community? Well, we're speaking up through our Liberty Relief International, but we need more people to speak up. This article that came out of the New York Times was reported by Pam Geller in your publication, barbedwire.com.
Yeah, and what people are afraid to admit is that it is Orthodox Islam. It is the true followers of Islam to the letter of the law of Islam that allows this, that allows for non-Muslims literally to be raped, as Pamela Geller points out here, as really as a religious right, both R-I-G-H-T, it's their right to do so for true faithful followers of Muhammad like ISIS, and it's a rite of passage, almost like a religious rite, R-I-T-E. As she writes, as far as this monster was concerned, referring to one who was raping this young woman, there was nothing hypocritical whatsoever about praying before and after committing the rape. The girl said, I kept telling him it hurts, please stop, said the girl, whose body is so small, an adult, this is a child, an adult could circle her waist with two hands. He told me that according to Islam, he is allowed to rape an unbeliever. He said that by raping me, he is drawing closer to God. That is rooted in the Quran. That is sickening, and it is demonic, and it is evil, Matt. But this is what we're up against right now in the battling of radical Islam.
You know, and one of the things we always want to say is that not every person who is Islamic is a terrorist. But all these terrorists have one thing in common, and that they're Islamic. And so within the Islamic religion, there's different kinds of devotions to that religion, just like there is within Christianity or Judaism. And those who are devoted to the actual words of the Quran and take those seriously and not just ignore some of the things of the Quran, you cannot come away from that without realizing that the Quran encourages that infidels, those who are Jews, those who are Christians, those who will not bow down to Allah and Muhammad as the prophet of Allah, those are called infidels, and they have to do one of three things. They have to pay a tax, they have to convert, or they have to be killed. And in some cases, ISIS is fooling some of these people. In fact, there was an article about this as well, that they could save themselves by paying a tax. Well, no, that wasn't enough, and they went ahead and killed them. So this is the fundamental core teaching of the Quran. It's always been a very violent ideology. There are moderate Muslims, or some people call them progressive Muslims, that don't hold to this particular view. But that's because they're moderate or progressive in their view, and they're not going by the actual dictates of the Quran. But when you do go by the actual words of the Quran, what it actually tells the followers to do It's horrifying, and so we're seeing this played out. That's why not all Islamics are terrorists, but all the terrorists have one thing in common, and that is they are radically committed to the teachings of the Quran.
That's right. They're Orthodox Muslims, just like we have Orthodox Christians, that being people, Bible-believing Christians, who adhere that they believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. And so when we are admonished to love others as we love ourselves as Christians, we believe it. When we're admonished that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through him, we believe that. That is what Scripture says. It is the inerrant word of God. The difference being, though, the Bible, the Judeo-Christian Bible, is rooted in love and voluntary acceptance of Christ, the Lord and Savior, the only path to salvation, whereas the Quran is rooted in hate, murder, war, torture, rape. These are the words of Muhammad, of one man, and that is what Orthodox Muslims buy into. And so we're just where we have progressive Christians, being Christians who don't believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God and embrace apostasy, such as gay marriage and that you can abort children, slaughter them alive in their mother's womb. There are Muslim moderates who believe that well, we can just ignore all the central aspects of the Quran that is so off-putting to the rest of the world and so evil and hateful, and we'll just embrace the little tidbits here and there that we kind of like. It's a la carte Islam, just like there is such a thing as a la carte Christianity.
Now, the Pam Geller, who wrote this article here, she says it's stunning that it has taken the New York Times years to address this savage issue. Tens of thousands of young girls have been raped, bought and sold, and while the New York Times only addresses sex slavery under the Islamic State, it is hardly exclusive to ISIS. The Muslim sex trafficking gangs in the United Kingdom, for example, mirror their practice, and the Islamic State's Nigeria branch, Boko Haram, caught the attention of the world and got a hashtag from Michelle Obama when it kidnapped Christian girls and forced them into sex slavery. She goes on to say, whether it's in territories controlled by the Islamic State or in Nigeria or Britain, these acts all are motivated by the same Islamic beliefs the Times discusses in Thursday's or that particular piece. Yet the New York Times has long criticized and smeared my colleagues, she says, and me, speaking of herself, Pam Geller, for writing about these horrors and opposing them, calling us anti-Muslims. That's from Pam Geller in this article. Certainly a worth read. But, Matt, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, having just returned from Israel while we were there in Syria. We did not go into Syria, but we went to the edge of Syria and looked into it. But there were about 260 people that were captured by ISIS during the week that we were there in Syria, not in Israel, but in Syria. And about 60 of those are Christians. The others are Sunni Muslims. The fate of those individuals is unknown, but certainly now that they're in the hands of ISIS, they're being bought, sold, raped, pillared, brutally beaten, decapitated, you name it. It's just unbelievable, the brutality. This is an atrocity that we need to speak up, and we need to condemn it. We need to also ask our elected officials to make an impact, make a difference. We need to stop this atrocity during our lifetime.
And we as Christians are to pray for our enemies, even Orthodox Muslims that are carrying out these atrocities. We pray that they may abandon the path to destruction and embrace the path to life and truth, who is Christ Jesus.
You can go to libertycouncil.com to sign up for our Liberty Relief International. You may feel frustrated by these things taking place and not know how to respond. Liberty Relief International is our international humanitarian relief organization to help persecuted Christians around the world, particularly in the Middle East. So you can go there, sign up for the emails, and you can make contributions to that. We will be working with partners on the ground to help our persecuted brothers and sisters. Liberty Relief International, go to libertycouncil.com. At libertycouncil.com, you can also sign up for other emails in addition to Liberty Relief International. We have one for Liberty Council, an activist email, and also for Liberty Council Action, all right there at libertycouncil.com. I encourage you to go there and sign up, get informed, and that is a way for you to be involved. You can also sign up for our Liberty Council Partner Program, and that partner program provides online instruction and training It also provides unlimited faxes so that you can have faxes to your members of Congress and let them know your opinion. Make your voice known. Don't just simply be silent. You know, as I was in Israel speaking to this Jewish filmmaker, I tapped someone on my shoulder to the right and said, "Why are Christians not speaking up?" Don't be one of those who are silent. Go to libertycouncil.com, lc.org. Pray for Liberty Council and support Liberty Council.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.